From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The AR-15 is a semi-automatic gun. It was used in the Aurora and Sandy Hook mass shootings. But Dan Baum, writing in the latest Harper's, says that Congress cannot ban it. Dan Baum has been a staff writer for The New Yorker. He's written for Rolling Stones, Harper's, and The New York Times Magazine. His recent book about gun culture is called Gun Guys, A Road Trip. Dan Baum joins us from his home in Boulder, Colorado. Dan, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, what is the AR-15?
Well, the AR-15 is, it's the most popular gun in America. One in five guns sold in America is one of these. It's the civilian version of the M16. So it looks like an M16, but it only fires with one shot with each pull of the trigger. It is the gun that people say, why does anybody need a gun like that? And yet it is, as I say, the most popular gun in America.
You're a self-described gun enthusiast, and you say it's kind of an amazing device.
It is. I don't particularly like them. I like old guns, but they there's very little recoil. They're very accurate. They're very lightweight, and they are infinitely customizable. So they call it Barbie for men. So it is. If you're a gearhead, it's a dream. You know, there's just always some new gadget to buy for it, and you can swap all the parts around on it. And so it's very profitable, as you can imagine, because there's just an endless inventory of cool stuff to buy for the gun. And this is why it's impossible to ban, because only one of those parts has a serial number on it. And that is the part that is controlled. That is the part that you need to do a background check to buy, or that in some states you need a permit to buy. And all the rest of the parts, everything else that makes the gun a gun, the barrel, the trigger, the stock, the sights, the bolt, all of that are sold and sent freely through the mail. It's like buying or selling kitchen equipment. Only that one part is controlled, and it is a flat, hollow piece of metal, a piece of aluminum. It's called the receiver, and they are easy to make. And as I write about in the article, you can manufacture your own quite easily. So this whole idea of banning this gun is a little bit silly. It's a little bit delusional. And so putting aside whether we should do it, putting aside the gun rights argument and all that, and I'm not a gun rights guy, putting aside all of that, it is simply impossible to ban this gun.
Now, the receiver, the part that has the stamp on it that is registered, can you make an AR-15 without a receiver? I mean, that seems like it's a crucial part.
You can't, but you can... companies make receivers that are 80% finished, and that is not controlled. And then you can send that through the mail, and you can finish it in your garage with minimal tools at home. And under federal law, you are permitted to manufacture your own firearm. It's a quirk of the law. It goes back to 1968. And in 1968, manufacturing your own firearm was a big job. It was, you know, rifling a barrel and complicated metallurgy and carving wood. And so they thought, you know, the few people who are going to do that, we don't have to worry about. But the fact is today, manufacturing your own gun is really no more than drilling a few holes in a piece of aluminum and then buying stuff through the mail and assembling your own gun.
Maybe you
and people can disagree about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just reporting on what is.
Maybe you own an AR-15. What do you think about this conversation? We're at 206-543-5869. Maybe you'd like to talk to Dan Baum. His recent book, Gun Guys, A Road Trip. We're also at 800-289-5869. Or you can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Now, on this program, Dan, we've talked about various gun control measures, and one of them, of course, is to ban certain types of weapons. And I've had people call the show to say, if you say you can ban a certain type of weapon, you just don't understand something about these weapons. It sounds like you're reinforcing that with your description of the AR-15, which for various reasons makes it sounds like it'd be very problematic to ban that weapon.
Not only is it, they're right, and not only is it problematic to ban the weapon, but as I argue in the Harper's piece, we actually make ourselves less safe when we talk about this. This whole debate we just had since Sandy Hook. Now, I'm a Democrat. I'm a big Obama fan. I'm a big Joe Biden fan. I'm a strong Democrat, but my party really blew it on this one. Not only did they do themselves a lot of political damage, which is incidental, you know, the Dems will recover from that, but I argue that banning guns, future purchases of guns, is not going to make us safer. We need to figure out how to live more safely among the 300 million guns that are already in circulation. And to think about anything else is really sticking your head in the sand. And when you talk about banning guns, for a lot of reasons that I go into in the book, it is so offensive to gun guys. What you do is you drive them away. And we need them because it is the gun guys, it's the people who own guns, who decide who gets them. The children find them, the depressed teenagers find them, the thieves find them when they come in the house. The gun owners of America are the custodians of the civilian arsenal. And frankly, we do a terrible job of it. We are awful at it. And we, gun owners, need to get off just talking about our rights under the Second Amendment and need to start talking about our responsibilities as the custodians of the nation's civilian arsenal. And the left, the Dems, make that harder when they demonize and vilify and insult gun owners. So both sides need to completely rethink this issue.
How does the left insult gun owners?
Well, when you tell a gun owner, I trust you with this type of gun, but not with that type of gun. I trust you with this many rounds in your magazine, but not that many. Gun owners say, well, you don't know me. You don't know me. You don't really understand guns. You don't know how they work. And, you know, you want to make decisions about something you don't understand for people you don't know. Now, it is really complicated, and it's not something we're gonna be able to settle in the next 3 minutes on the radio. But the book is a lot about this because gun ownership speaks to them personally. And so when Joe Biden talks about guns and limiting guns and banning guns, what gun guys hear is he's not going after guns. He's coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
And they take it personally. Now, you can agree with that. You cannot agree with that. You can, you know. But the fact is, this is how it is. And I am all about safety. I am all about how can we be safer. And I don't really care who gets the credit. I don't really care who feels insulted. I don't really care about the Second Amendment, frankly. I am about safety. And we need to stop thinking of gun owners as a problem to be managed and pruned back and stuffed in increasingly small boxes and start thinking about gun owners as an asset. They are the custodians of the civilian arsenal. It is up to them to keep us safer. And frankly, we, because I'm one of them, we need to do a much, much better job. We need to create a culture in which it is just unthinkable to leave firearms anywhere but either on your hip or in your gun safe. You don't leave them in the end table. You don't leave them in the glove compartment. You don't leave them in the closet, because that is how bad stuff happens.
Dan Baum is with me. He's the author of Gun Guys, A Road Trip, and also the cover story in the latest Harper's about it's the gun that Congress cannot ban. It's the AR-15 semi-automatic weapon. A moment ago, I asked if any of you owned one, and we've got Kevin on the line in Everett. I guess it's not surprising if one out of five guns sold are the AR-15. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Yes, good afternoon, and good afternoon to your well-informed and open-minded guest.
Kevin, what do you think about what Dan had to say about just the mechanics of the AR-15, the way that it's sold, the fact that it comes from component parts, just to make it impossible to ban because of the way it's put together?
Well, he's completely correct. I was at the Western Regional Director for a industry trade group, and what he says is completely correct. All of the technology has been, to use the term, dumbed down. Many people can do this with a very little amount of knowledge at a relatively affordable price. I'm also glad, though, to hear that your guest did mention that there is a stereotyping of a gun owner that's, frankly, by a largely hypocritical media. Many in the media have made millions, if not billions, of dollars by glamorizing AR-15s and the like, and then they're the first to turn around and demonize legitimate gun owners.
Hey, Kevin, I want to ask you about something else that Dan just said. He said that it's up to gun owners like himself and like you to be more serious about means to make guns safer, about where they are, where they're stored, and how they're stored. Do you feel as though gun owners might not be taking that responsibility seriously enough?
Well, regrettably, you're dealing with humans in this equation, and there's always going to be a percentile that cannot, a percentage of the population that will be irresponsible. The question, I suppose, is do you punish 99.9% of the group for the actions of a tiny percentage? I agree with him completely.
Okay. Yes,
guns should be stored safely. Gun owners need to take responsibility for their firearms, which the vast majority do.
Kevin, thanks very much for your phone call. Dan Baum, you're a gun owner. You traveled among gun owners to get some ideas of what they thought. We just heard Kevin say that the idea that some regulations could be imposed would be like a punishment on gun owners. Do they perceive some of the efforts that you just alluded to a moment ago to keep guns safe as punishment?
Well, gun owners, there's some states have laws requiring you to lock up your guns. And they even have some states even have laws that hold you criminally liable if you don't, and then something bad happens with your gun. A lot of gun guys really don't like those laws, and frankly, I say too bad. I mean, we have not done a good job as gun owners, and I think we could do it ourselves. I think we could do it without government intervention. I think we could make it as unthinkable to keep a gun unsecured as it is to, say, smoke in somebody else's house. We could do it. We haven't done it. And so if people demand laws requiring guns be locked up or requiring or holding people liable for the bad stuff that happens with unsecured guns, you know, gun guys have only themselves to blame.
Dan, you talk about open carry laws as a way to change the culture, and there's nothing more dramatic than seeing someone in an unconventional situation in a city, in a public place, with a gun strapped down.
I don't talk about open carry laws as a way to change the culture. Open carry activists do. I have tried open carry, and I think it's dumb.
Why?
I felt very unsafe. I think it's inflammatory. I think it's unsafe. I carried a gun concealed for a year and a half while doing this book, and I was taught over and over and over again, if you want to carry a gun, concealed means concealed. You don't tell people you're carrying. You don't show people your gun. You don't want somebody knocking you on the head to take it. You don't want somebody challenging you to a gunfight. Open carry, with apologies to those out there listening who think it's a good idea, I've tried it. It's a terrible idea.
Dan Baum, you write in your book that you come from a world where carrying a gun made you a social outcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Why is that?
I'm a liberal Democrat who lives among liberal Democrats. And to the extent people knew I was carrying, to the extent people know I'm a gun guy, it makes me something of an outcast among my tribe. It's just something I got to live with.
You traveled among your tribe, and you describe about how during a class in concealed weapons, I think I wrote this down, right? The instructor pulled 13 concealed weapons out of his clothing.
Well, he was showing us various ways of carrying guns, and so to make a dramatic point, he hid 13 of them on his body, but nobody would ever do that.
You talk about the gun classes that you went to near Boulder. And my reading of it is that you found the people who were running those classes were trying to recruit you into a culture animated by fear. Part of the gun class was making you fearful.
Well, but both sides do this. One of the real secrets of American politics is that violent crime, murder, and all types of violent crime nationwide are the rate of those are half of what they were 20 years ago. Now, the NRA doesn't want you to know that because the NRA wants you to think that crime is out of control, so you'll get a gun and to protect yourself. And the gun control side doesn't want you to know that because they want to be going on about this quote-unquote epidemic of gun violence that we're suffering. Well, we're really suffering no such thing. And this big drop in crime happened in 20 years when gun laws got looser everywhere and the number of privately owned guns about doubled. So we had this huge public policy success, perhaps the greatest public policy success of my lifetime. I'm 57. Yet it was not done with gun control. And that's a real problem for the gun control side.
If it was not done with gun control, what was it done with?
Well, people differ on that. Policing has changed. I mean, some things we like and some things we don't like. It's probably better policing, but it's probably also putting millions and millions of people in prison through the drug war. And swelling our prison population to absurd levels. Stop and frisk probably has something to do with it.
There are reduced
stop and frisk fan, but if you put millions of people in prison, crime will go down, and that's probably what did it.
When gun violence rates have gone down, as you mentioned, but that's cold comfort when you see something like Newtown.
That's exactly right. And here's why I think the background check bill failed. And I was surprised, because most gun guys I know would have been fine with background checks. But by the time that vote came around, the left, my party, my president and my vice president, really had not made an argument for why these measures that they were promoting were actually going to make us safer. All they did was appeal to our emotions. Basically, what they did was they pitted the Newtown parents against the NRA. And I think when push came to shove, people said, I don't really know how this is going to make us safer. It feels good. We got to, quote, do something, unquote. But they never made a case. They really bungled it. They really blew it. And I think it was a political disaster for the Democrats. I think they're going to pay heavily for it.
Dan Baum is my guest. He's written a book about gun owners in the country called Gun Guys, A Road Trip, and the cover story in the latest Harper's about the AR-15, the gun that Congress cannot ban. When we do programs about gun control issues, gun safety issues, I hear from a lot of folks who call in and say, well, I'm a member of the NRA, but I disagree with the NRA's stance on things like background checks.
There you go.
And it confuses me because these people are apparently still dues-paying members of the NRA. Why are they still dues-paying members if they disagree with it on some fundamental issue like
because
that?
Because they perceive the NRA as the only thing standing between them and losing their guns. And I think even more interesting than the members of the NRA who disagree with it is the fact that the NRA has 4 million members in a country of 100 million gun owners. Now, probably a lot of gun owners support the NRA without paying dues. But even so, that is a tiny minority. And since my book has come out, I despise the NRA, and I'm very tough on it in my book. And I have been hearing, I get 5 or 6 emails a day from people who say, I'm like you. I'm a gun owner, and I hate the NRA. And, you know, the NRA is the loudest voice in the room, and they get all the attention. Quite frankly, I think the media builds the NRA up. I think the media create a bogeyman out of the NRA and give it credit where that it doesn't really deserve.
Why haven't folks like yourself and the others you just described tried to form an alternative organization that takes a different view about gun control?
Well, I have heard from people who talk about wanting to do that, for one thing. But for another, you know, a lot of gun owners own guns and enjoy them and collect them or hunt with them or target shoot with them. But it's not the centerpiece of their lives. The people who belong to the NRA, their guns are the centerpiece of their lives. So for the others, it's like, well, I got a lot to do. Do I really want to spend a lot of time forming a gun organization? I mean, guns is just one thing I do. I also ride bikes, and I also, you know, climb mountains, and I also play accordion, and I do all kinds of things that I'm not involved in organizations about, because much as I enjoy them, it is not the centerpiece of my life. So, you know, in any political debate, you're always going to hear from the most passionate.
I always wonder whether anything is going to change on this. We had an assault weapons ban back in 94. It went away. It's never been renewed. We had a sort of high watermark of gun control issues at the state level and at the national level. It appears as though that's largely been a failure to change the laws. Are we in a stalemate?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say, is anything going to change?
Yeah.
What do you want to achieve? If what you want to achieve is fewer killings with guns, we're doing that. We've done a spectacular job of that. Now, but if what you want to do is get rid of the guns, well, that's a whole different question. I couldn't support you on that. I'm totally for, you know, everybody is totally for reducing the number of people getting killed. But you got to acknowledge, we're doing that. We are doing that very successfully. We're just not doing it with gun control. And for the left, which has a visceral aversion to firearms and, frankly, a visceral aversion to the people who like firearms, that's a real problem, because we are achieving the success without gun control.
Dan Baum, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us from Boulder, Colorado. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Dan Baum's book is called Gun Guys, A Road Trip. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.